It's time for the Coach's Show here on WLEN and brought to you by Frickers of Adrian. Let's head out to our host, John Kane, broadcasting live from Frickers on South Main in Adrian, as he interviews basketball coaches Kyle Lindsay of Adrian College and Coach Joe Pisciotta of Siena Heights University, as well as Adrian College men's hockey coach Adam Krug.
Thank you very much, Steve Barkway. Welcome to Frickers here on South Main Street here in Adrian. And it is the Coach's Show. And we want to welcome in Gabriel Schrey. He's joining us here tonight, especially because we're talking with Adam Krug first, the head coach of the Adrian College men's ice hockey team. And we're going to do this a little bit different tonight because it was such a big weekend. We're actually going to talk about the second game first because we've got a lot more to talk about on the first game. And I don't want to shortchange the second game. And it was Saturday afternoon. Obviously, anyone who was following the Bulldogs defeated St. Norbert 1-1, 3-2 in overtime on Friday night. Well, then on Saturday night, they played Finlandia. And Adam, no question about a letdown. The Bulldogs took care of business, jumped out 3-0 in the first period, and they pretty much controlled the show, didn't they?
Yeah, we did. I thought that we had set a new standard for our program on Friday night just as far as work ethic and complete 60-minute battle, and that was the message of the team, to not have a letdown on Saturday. You know, you go from playing the top-ranked or one of the top-ranked teams in the country to one of the lower-ranked teams, you know, last place in our conference, one win in the last couple of years. It would have been pretty easy for our guys to just show up and think they were going to win. And we went out and left no doubt, after the first period. You know, it was 3-0, and we'd really controlled the game, and then our passing was crisp, and just everything was on. So we were happy with the bounce back.
Yeah, and you continue the trend that we've seen over, I don't know, at least the last month, 7 goals by 7 different guys. Yeah. That's been the trend that the Bulldogs have been doing.
Well, and I love that. It's not just one line every night where it's one line and next thing you know, they dry up for a night and you get shut out. It's a different line. It's a different guy. It's multiple different guys in this instance. And, I'm thrilled with the depth that we have going right now for us.
Yeah, there's a good win, and of course we're going to talk a little bit later about how important every single win and every single contest is, but solid win. An unusual stat. I wanted to ask you about how that works out, because I'm not real sure, and I'm thinking sometimes it doesn't work out as often as you might think, but the penalties in the game, the Bulldogs were 5 penalties for 10 minutes, and Finlandia was 6 penalties for 20 minutes, yet they had one more power play. How does that work out exactly?
I think at one point one of their guys had something to say to the officials and got himself a 10-minute misconduct. And in a scenario with 10-minute misconduct, that doesn't penalize the team as much as the player. In my mind, it does definitely hurt the team and penalizes the team just because it gets you out of your rhythm and whatever. But, we didn't get to go up on the power play in that instance. So disappointing for us when you see the referee blow the whistle and you know a penalty's coming, but then he just gives them a 10. So he went in the penalty box, felt some shame, and, then he got out. And I'm sure their coach probably gave him an earful for it. I would have.
Okay, we'll get a chance to talk a little bit about something that happened in the other game. And, of course, so they got the win over Finlandia. So let's go to Friday night. And just one other thing. This worked out well, didn't it? In other words, I think was it better for your club to play St. Norbert, Finlandia than vice versa?
Well, I don't know. I think that it, either way, it was probably would have been fair. you know, like we had to go to Finlandia back in November and then play St. Norbert on the second day of the 2-2. You know, and this time around, it just happened to work out that it was flip-flopped. So I think our preparation for the week was on St. Norbert. You know, naturally, it's typically on that first opponent. But given the magnitude of the game, it probably would have been a lot of that anyway.
Yeah, because that was just saying, you can jump in here anytime you want, Gabe. I mean, you were trying to build so much momentum, and then to maybe have to play Finlandia first, you could have lost maybe a little steam if you had to play St. Norbert on Saturday night. So I think maybe it was good that they got him on Friday.
I don't know what Coach Krug had to say in the locker room between the first and second period, but at one point, Adrian's down 2-0 to St. Norbert. I mean, this is a storied historical program in hockey, well-respected around the country, trailing 2-0, a 10-minute major, and these guys come out there, a lot on the back of Captain Matt Thompson, kill this major penalty called against them, which was not a good call, and I'll get into that later. But they kill this penalty, score 2 goals, take it to overtime, and win. Really an incredible sports story. I mean, it's probably one of the greatest wins I've ever seen. And the grit that your players had to have to come back and win that game, absolutely unreal. Can you talk about maybe the feeling on the bench as you guys scored and were able to get back into the game and what kept the momentum in your favor?
Sure. I would say that penalty kill in itself flipped the game upside down. You know, you're down 1-0 after one. You play okay, not great, come out, have a great first shift of the second period, and then on the heels of that first minute, they get a little bounce that goes their way, and next thing you know, you're down 2-0, and you don't understand how this is happening. And then you get a 5-minute major called against you, and you just tell the guys, hey, you got to dig in here. You got to dig in, find something deep within yourself, and do whatever it takes to kill this off, and then we go back to work. Because I did think 5-on-5, we were playing pretty well. And, you know, if it goes to 3-0, is it over? You know, I don't know. I think history would tell you it probably was. But 2 is a manageable number. And at that point, it was get one, get it to 2-1. And then from there, you know, it's just a matter of time before you get another one.
Absolutely. And Thompson had, I think, 3 in a row big clears that just absolutely destroyed that penalty. Can you talk about the effort he put forward this weekend, especially against St. Norbert?
Yeah, you know, obviously Matt did a great job, and it was the whole penalty-killing group. We've done a really good job. I think breaking things up before it gets into our zone, which 5-on-4, it's a little easier for them to rush the puck up the ice. And our guys have done a really good job of trying to be good up ice and not allow them to just come into our zone unscathed. And Matt Thompson's obviously a huge part of that. But his work ethic, you know, day in, day out is up there with the best of them within our program. And that night, you know, that's what you need out of your captain. You know, you need a guy that's going to step up when times are tough and you're going through a little bit of adversity. You need him to, you know, show the guys the way, and he did.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to ask you to comment on this, but just can you describe to me the call against Helms and what you thought of that, maybe just very vaguely, and I'll go into detail.
Yeah. For you. Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't think the call was the wrong call. Anytime a 5-minute call goes against you, you're not happy about it. What I was disappointed in is that 40 seconds or so before that, Austin Russ got kind of taken out, kind of pushed from the side, looked like a little bit of head contact, and there was no call at all. And then we come down the ice on a 2-on-1 break, puck bounces out into the slot, and Braden Helms is coming in to scoop up the loose puck. And the St. Norbert guy leans out to get the puck, and Braden's shoulder in that quick of a, you know, that type of play, I understand how a referee could see a head contact issue, but you know, we went back and watched it on film 20 times, and you know, in my opinion, I think it was shoulder first, and because he was leaning over, he's a little bit vulnerable, so it looked worse than it was, but I can see how you argue the other way too.
So, you know, it might have been roughing, but not a 5-minute major.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, being able to slow it down, I think I would have called 2 minutes, but, you know, that's me. I'm the coach of the team that got the penalty called.
I'm amazed that you're you're to terms with that, because from the stands, from the Braves way, I was furious in person seeing it once. I could not believe the call. Originally in person, then maybe looking back, not as dramatic, but probably one of the worst calls I've ever seen at that moment in time. I was very upset.
Yeah, and I think I was a little more animated in person when it happened, and more so because you are down 2-0, and you got to get some more energy out of your team. And so I think to maybe get in the official face a little bit and show some resolve, show some fight back from me, I think sometimes your guys can kind of take on your attitude a little bit. And so, I don't know. That's me patting myself on the back a little bit, I guess. But it is what it is.
The question I got, well, I had a question for you, but now I think I'm going to change it up a little bit. But the answers could still be the same. I mean, I might have asked you, you know, what did your team show you by coming out of a 2-0 hole, killing off 3 minutes worth of penalty that could have put them maybe out of the game? And coming back for the win, I could ask you, you know, what did they show you? But I think what I'll ask you, and maybe the answer is the same, is what did they show each other?
Well, they showed each other that they can count on one another to do the job together and get it done. I think they showed us some resolve, and I think they did a great job doing it for each other. So I was really proud of them for that, and I think that once we got that first goal and got the ball rolling, I felt like the energy in the building and our overall attitude had kind of changed. And before the third period, I told the guys, I said, listen, like, we're going to win this game the way that it's been going. And if you guys go out and just compete the way you competed in that second period, we will win this game.
Well, the Bulldogs are doing it during this stretch, unquestionably defensively. You've got 9 wins in a row, and you've given up 11 goals in those 9 wins.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how you get it done.
Yeah, it is. If you keep the puck out of your net, it's going to be hard to lose games. You don't want to rely, and I've been saying this for a number of years now, I don't want to rely on scoring 6 goals to win games. I want to rely on giving up 0 or 1. If you give up 4 goals and the scoring's not there, you're up you-know-what creek.
What? From a philosophical standpoint and even a practice standpoint, is it easier to be more consistent defensively than it is offensively?
No, I think defensively that can be there every night. Like, that can kind of be almost your backup game plan, your B game, we call it. The A game, if it's going your way, great, and the scoring will come. But if your A game's not there, you got to divert back to your B game. And I think you commit to defense. And I also believe that good offense comes from good defense. You do things the right way. You stay on the right side of the puck. You block shots. And it's a matter of time before pucks start going your way.
I think that overtime winning goal on Friday night has to be the most explosive moment I've experienced in the Arrington Ice Arena. How was that from the bench?
It was awesome. I got a big smile on my face right now just thinking about it. And there's other stuff that you guys don't know about at this moment. Corey Dunn played with a very heavy heart last week. His grandmother passed away, and for him to score the game-winning goal was incredible. And my first thought was, wow, we just won. And my second thought was, that was Corey that scored. That was his grandmother helping us out. Because it wasn't, just a play that you see all the time. Like, it was a seeing eye shot from the blue line through a screen. How it didn't hit something is beyond me.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, I was standing at an angle to where I was right behind him looking over. It was almost like the puck turned into the net. I mean, it was just unreal, the shot he took.
Yeah, it was great. But to your point, the explosiveness of the the arena, that was awesome. It was loud, and it was fun.
If you had to rank the game in a list of top 5-10 games in the history of you as the coach and a player with the Adrian Bulldogs, where would you put it?
Number one is me for the as a coach, just as far as the comeback and win and packed house and atmosphere and implications. As far as for our program, it's probably 3 or 4. I think the first ever NCAA tournament win at home against Elmira. Back when Sean Skelly, my assistant, was a senior. I mean, that game to this day is still known as one of the best games, just, you know, from a pure energy standpoint. And then we had some pretty incredible comebacks. I think it was our third game in the history of our program. We were losing at Newman University. It was then called Newman College, I believe. And we were down 6-2 going into the third period. We came back, tied it, made it 6-6, and then scored to make it 7-6 in overtime. And at the time, they were ranked like number 5 in the country, and we were a brand-new program. And that was, to me, just incredible as far as, like, just the whole story. You know, new program, third year, unbelievable. Yeah, but this weekend, I mean, Friday night's game against St. Norbert, it was fun.
All right, we're going to be back with more from Adam Krug, the men's intercollege men's ice hockey coach, right after this for Frickers here on 103.9 WLEN.
Frickers, the home for fun, food, forts, and spirits, is ready to serve you lunch, dinner, and late night. Frickers is the home of everyday values. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday, it's all about that steak. About that steak. And Thursday, Frickers frickin' chicken chunks rule the day. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. And the kitchen is open late night to serve you for everyday values. And the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, it's Frickers.
And the Illinois Community of Mental Health temperature check, we've got 22 degrees currently in downtown Edram. Abuse of drugs or alcohol affects all populations from adolescents to seniors. Get info at lcmha.org or call Illinois Community Mental Health 263-8905.
And now we're back with more of the Coach's Show, live from Frickers in Adrian. Here's John Cain.
Thank you very much, Steve Barkway. Welcome back here to Frickers on South Main Street here in Adrian. More with Adam Krug here. And before we get back to the St. Norbert game, before I forget about it, a couple of kudos I want to pass along. Kyle Brothers, that St. Norbert game was his 100th contest as an Adrian hockey player.
Good milestone. Yeah, and we recognized that before the game. We have, since I've been factor and coach. I don't remember if Coach Fogarty did it or not, but that's nice. You know, it's nice you play 100 college hockey games. Kind of neat. You get a lot of points, too.
Take that news, if you will.
Yeah.
And the other one is goalie Dylan Kelly, who started the Finlandia game. Well, that ice time for him now put him back in. He has enough ice time to be recognized in the nationwide statistics, and he is currently number one in the country goals against average and number two in save percentage.
Yeah, you're happy for guys like that. You know, he's just been a battler for 4 years. He's a kid that came in thinking he's going to be a third string. Talked about this before on the show, and you know, he's deserved some opportunity. And I felt bad for him when he fell out of the 33% minimum of game time because he was up there statistically. It was good for him to get that opportunity to get back in there. When push comes to shove, you know, he's probably going to get another game down the stretch here. It was senior night, he's a senior, and maybe one more mixed in there. So maybe those two included in the playoffs, if you do the math, maybe there's enough for him to be there at the end of the year. But, you know, hats off to Dylan for doing a good job.
I want to, all right, we'll get back to the St. Norbert game and a couple of more things that I want to talk about. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, We'll Meet Again, Don't Know Where, Don't Know When. But
by whom?
I can't remember who it's by, but I got this feeling that you guys are going to meet again. And one of the things I want to talk about, because I don't even really know the answer. And to me, this is probably why all the games left on the schedule are so crucial. Let's say, and I don't want to skip ahead, sure, but just as a scenario here, let's say you're in the D3 championships and you run into St. Norbert again. How does that work? Who gets the last line change?
And how do they do it?
Well, home ice gets the last line change.
How do they consider who's home ice?
Yeah, so we're talking the hypothetical NCAA tournament.
Right.
Championship game.
Yeah.
It'd be the highest seed. So if we get seeded for the NCAA tournament and we're ahead of St. Norbert, we would be in our white.
And how do they base that? I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure they head-to-head, overall, whatever.
All that stuff. Yeah, there's, either a smoky, a smoke-filled room somewhere where the powers to be figure it out, or there's some mathematics that go into it, and I believe that is the case. You take record win percentage, you take strength of schedule, you take head-to-head, you take common opponents and all that stuff, and you add it up, and they come up with basically, an answer from that formula, and that's how they seed the tournament.
You guys, because you guys are like practically mirror images of one another. You guys could be twins, identical twins, except that one of you is a little bigger, a little stronger, and the other one is faster. And down through this, all these games have been one goal, a lot of overtime games. There's not a lot different between you. And being able to get the last line change could be big.
It could make all the difference in the world. Matchups are a little bit of a part of hockey. Some coaches believe in them more than others. I like to think that our top three lines, and some nights even our fourth line, you can throw any of those guys out against anybody. But it's nice to have the last change. So if I see the other team's fourth line out on the ice, maybe we can throw our first line out there and catch them. Or if it's a defensive zone faceoff and they stick their top line out there, I got to put my best faceoff guy in the faceoff circle.
You just mentioned it. Now, we talked about it earlier in the season that the Bulldogs weren't as dominant in that area, but you were good against Norbert in the faceoff circle.
Well, what was awesome to see was we won the first faceoff of each period, including overtime, to gain the puck to start a period. That's nice. It's nice to start there, right? But ultimately, we scored a goal off a face-off win. And we got some really good contributions in the circle the entire night. Chase Mattson, through two periods, was 8-0. I kept putting him out in the defensive zone to win draws. I don't know what his total number was when it was all said and done, but through two periods, it'd be 8-0 against St. Norbert, who has some pretty good centermen, was pretty good.
Makes a big difference, no question about that. So we talk about all the games being important. I mean, there's a chance you could run into Norbert again in the Harris Cup tournament. If they get a win, then they go up 2-1 on you head-to-head before you get to the next round.
Right.
So that's going to be huge. And then Bulldogs are 17-4, and Norbert 16-4-1. It's just... every game is going to be crucial to get the W.
They're crucial. You gotta take care of business, and we're not looking past anything. We're not looking past Lake Forest College this Friday. Can we look into the future a little bit and see a possible matchup with St. Norbert and the Harris Cup? Sure. Could you look into the NCAA tournament and see a possible matchup with St. Norbert, with Stevens Point, with Utica College, with Oswego State, with Salve Regina, team that we lost to earlier in the year? We can see a lot of those things, but our work is cut out in front of us here, and what we need to do is keep going out and getting better and take care of business this Friday.
No question about it. So you're going to be on the road traveling to Lake Forest and then Aurora.
Yeah.
And just got to keep going on and going on, right?
Yeah, it's crazy, though, to think that we're in the stretch run, like one more road trip and one more home weekend, and then we're in the playoffs. I think that in the middle of summertime, it can't get here quick enough, and then you're here, and it's Christmas time, and then you blink, and it's the playoffs, and sometimes you just got to take a deep breath and soak it all in and appreciate what you're in the middle of, too. A nine-game win streak, you got to appreciate that. And you got to appreciate the process, which is something we talk to our guys about. Everybody wants instant gratification these days, and you just sometimes have to sit back and soak it in.
Well said, because sometimes I think this guy over here has to stop and take a deep breath.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's no stopping and taking a deep breath. Work full-time, go to school full-time. In January, you guys are undefeated, and you're 8-0. You're outscoring opponents 39-11 right now this month. Can you talk about the coaching that goes into that pacing? What kind of things do you do to get your guys at that pace? Hey, guys, we got to score. We have to be offensive at every moment from everywhere on the ice.
Well, we talk a lot about being an option, being available all the time, and committing to playing with each other rather than just going out and playing hockey. You know, one tweak that we've made this season is we go back on pucks either in the defensive zone or in the neutral zone, and it used to be, you know, the same thing over and over and over again. But now it's, hey, like, get your feet up ice and let's go the other way. Let's go on offense and find the open guy. So with that being said, if the defensemen are going back to get the puck and move it to the forwards can't just skate back and stare at the puck. They've got to work to get open, and it's something that we've been working on, and we've been seeing it get better and better here. So we're always looking to transition the puck, and get back on offense as quick as possible.
I got one more question, then we need to. Is your club the way it's built? Are you better 4-on-4?
You'd think so. You know, we've got a handful of guys that, you know, aren't built for that situation, but I enjoy, you know, the 4-on-4 game, the open game. I think we got a lot of hockey IQ and a lot of guys that can skate and make plays in space and around the net. I think if we played 4-on-4 full-time, we'd be pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, could you be better than Norbert 4-on-4? Because they're a little bit more rugged.
Yeah, I think that's the easy answer. You know, but they've got some pretty
good. Right, we still
got
to play too.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah. No, I think that you know, if you look at the speed and the skating and the skill that we have, you know, there aren't many teams in the country that could compete with that.
So, is there any way you can work it where you get your guys to each one draw a penalty and then?
Be the most penalized team in the country.
Yeah, but you'd be 4-on-4.
My director Mike Duffy very happy. But
you'd be 4-on-4 a lot if you could work it right.
Yeah, you know what? I've thought about that in the past. Is late in a game and you need a goal. You know, the problem is you try to goat somebody else into a penalty and the referee just calls the one, and then you're killing penalties. So
it's a little chicken thing, but yeah. All right. Well, Adam, congratulations so far. Thanks for talking with us again this week, and best of luck on the road this coming weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And just to get some people thinking about it here, 2 weeks, February 9th, we've got our Pink the Rink cancer awareness game, and then the next day, senior night. So we'll talk more about that next week.
All right, we're going to be back with Kyle Lindsay, the head coach of the Adrian College men's basketball program, right after this timeout for Frickers here on 103.9 WLEN.
Frickers, the home for fun, food, forts, and spirits, is ready to serve you lunch, dinner, and late night. Frickers is the home of everyday values. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday, it's all about that steak. About that steak. And Thursday, Frickers frickin' chicken chunks rule the day. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. And the kitchen is open late night to serve you for everyday values. And the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, it's Frickers.
From Tipton to Deerfield, from Clinton to Hudson, we are Lenawee County's radio station, 103.9 WLEN, Adrian.
And now we're back with more of the Coach's Show, live from Frickers in Adrian. Here's John Kane.
Nobody. Thank you very much. Welcome back here to Frickers and the Coaches Show. And we want to welcome in Kyle Lindsay, is the head coach of the Adrian College men's basketball program. And Kyle, let's start with Wednesday. That was a game that you guys needed. I mean, you'd had a long winning streak. You had a tough loss against a good Olivet team, close ball game. Then you had to go on the road. And didn't happen at Elma. So you really needed to get that a win to get your himself turned around, didn't want to get into a losing streak, and did the job against Kalamazoo.
Yeah, we did. To get the home games are going to be really important for us. We only have three of them left, and I think if not trying to look too far forward, if we want to be even mentioned for the top four, I think we got to find a way to get three more. And fortunately for us, we got three more home games. So to play well for those games is going to be really important for us. I thought against Kalamazoo, our guys did a great job defensively. You know, they were prepared and they executed very well at the defensive end. So, yeah, it was really important, really key for us to get that, like every home game is going to be from here on out. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you talked about, you know, your club has been pretty solid for most games defensively this year. I mean, you're not giving up a ton of points, and you held Kalamazoo to 46. Your perimeter defense was very good. They really struggled with their three-point shooting.
I think they didn't quite, at least that night, they didn't quite have enough guys that were making shots from the outside. I think had they had that, I think now we're talking about a tight ball game. So fortunately for us, you know, we knew that's how Kalamazoo plays. They really work through the post. They do a great job of playing through their post guys and Pat Baraki, who's had a great year. So we really tried to key in on him and make sure that we had at least two guys there when he caught that ball in there. So fortunately for us, they just didn't quite make enough shots from the perimeter to open up the inside.
Right.
Yeah.
Did it work out that most of the possessions for both teams were running substantial time off the shot clock?
I think so. That's how we play, you know, and I think that's how Kalamazoo plays too. It was the most shot clock violations I think I've ever been a part of in a game. And even they, I know they banked one three in at the buzzer as the shot clock was going down. So two solid defensive teams going at it. Kalamazoo has done a great job all year defending. You can tell it's important to them, and they've made the commitment to trying to be really good defensively, and they are, and they're so big. They got a lot of size, so you have to make shots against them. They don't. They do a good job not giving up many angles, and with their size, obviously they do a good job defending inside. So you definitely have to make shots against them, and we definitely had that from our guys.
Well, of course, one of the things that prepares you for that is that you're smaller than just about all the teams that you play. So you're working the entire season on defending the paint.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is knowing what your limitations are. And us going into this season, we knew, we know our strengths. We have some foot speed. Our limitations is we're not very big, you know, 6'5", 6'5", and then basically 6 foot across the board. So we knew that we would have to work really hard at, we knew when we play teams with size, we have an idea what they're going to do, and we try to work really hard every day at what that is and to try and combat it. You know, we try to make up for what we lack in size with foot speed and team defense. So
obviously, it's worked. I mean, not only have you defended them well, but you didn't get into foul trouble doing it.
Yeah, we've had some success at it this year. Not so much on Saturday. It was a little different story, but I think Saturday was a Calvin team who is very good, who only had two home games the first round of conference, and now after beating us, they four of their next six are at home, and I can see them climbing their way to the top. So they're as good as any team in our league, having played all of them at least once and them twice. They shot it very well, and they really haven't all year. I think they were 17 to 32 from three, and that's twofold. I think anytime you shoot like that, were they a little bit unconscious? Of course they were, but I think there were times where we could have been there a little bit sooner. You know, there's always things we can do better. But I think, you know, with that game, they shot it very well, but we weren't making up for that in other ways. You know, not only were they shooting it well, we were fouling, we were turning the ball over. So even when teams are, I thought we shot it pretty well. You know, we did not shoot poorly from the field. It's just we didn't quite make up in other areas that we could have in order to keep that game tight. So, well, you know, but as you said, in the Kalamazoo game, you only got 11 free throw opportunities. That's pretty good paint defense against a bigger team without putting them to the line.
Right.
I think that came from our guys doing a really good job of keeping it out of the post, you know, and just both teams just all night not giving up many angles. And when we can keep our hands high, usually we're not going to get called for many fouls. So there's a lot of the stats were close outside of the shooting stats. The only other one that was, I mean, the rebounds were close between the Bulldogs and Kazoo. But you had almost a 2-1 edge in turnovers. That had to be a big part of how you held them to 46 points and won the game.
Yeah, kind of like the Calvin game, you got to find ways to make up for, in a tight game like that, you got to, find a way to separate yourself. And there's a few things we try to be consistent at each night, and our turnovers is one of them. We don't want to turn the ball over. So it was good for us that we took care of the ball that night.
Nice contribution in the Kalamazoo game with Jordan Harris. He had 4 threes in the game, 18 points to lead the way. It's always, the three can cure a lot of ills, and it's always nice to be able to hit those and keep the defense honest.
Yeah, Jordan's playing really well lately. He's really come on he's been playing well all year. A little streaky shooting, shooting night in and night out, but man, when he's on, he's on. And when you know he's feeling good and he's hitting shots, there's probably a few more coming. So, yeah, he's a great player for us, very special, talented young man, very focused. I'll tell you what, I've never coached a player with as good of eye contact that Jordan Harris, no matter what your demeanor is, whether you're being positive or you're getting on the guys, he's looking you dead in the eye. He's focused. He pays attention. So he's a pretty special player for us.
Well, in pretty decent balance. You had 4 guys in double figures in addition to Harris's 18. Trayshawn Hurd with 14, Kalonji with 12, Webster with 12 and 9 rebounds. That's important.
It is. To get production like that from that many guys is absolutely huge for us. And we know we got guys that are capable. It seemed like that game, we could never, for the longest time, maybe 3/4 of the game, we couldn't quite get that, break it open. It stayed here, stayed about 10, 10, 10, and then we finally were able to get that. A couple other guys stepped up and hit some shots, and we kind of broke it open there. And to their credit, our guys did a great job of closing that game out.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you led by 11 at halftime. That was a decent lead, and playing some super defense, hold them to just 16 points in the first half. That's, going to be pretty tough for any team to come back from that kind of a situation. And a game that you needed to have to get the momentum moving back in the right direction, because, like you said, you're calculating out here, and you're trying to get figured out as the season, because I don't know, by the next few weeks, as we get into February, we only have about 3 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, it's getting down to the nitty-gritty here, and what a wild race it's been. Three teams were tied for the top spot going into Saturday, and we all lost. So now it's a 4-way tie.
Yeah,
so, and Alma's right there. Alma's is as good. They're as good as any of us. So is obviously Calvin. So it's going to be really interesting down the stretch, I think, here in the MIAA race. But for us, it's, we're trying not to look too far ahead.
Right.
We're just trying to worry about ourselves and what we need to do to take care of business. So I think that's going to be key for anyone hoping to be up toward the top when all is said and done.
Absolutely. It's – the team does have – I mean, it's been a special season so far. And they've always got that to rely on, even in adversity, don't they?
Yeah, we sure do. And especially now, it's a time of year where most teams have probably peaked. You know, we probably hit our peak, but so is everybody else. You know, and if they haven't, they're probably going to hit it in the next week or so here. So we got to do things in practice. We're shortening things up. We're not quite going for as long, but still going hard. But just knowing that, especially with a lot of guys who are going for through their first college season for the first time, this is an absolute grind. So we got to make sure that we don't burn out too soon, that we stay fresh and focused. But I think, yeah, it's really important for our guys to know, and I think they do. They know and understand, hey, you know, look at some of the wins we have. You know, even when adversity hits, when we have a game like we did against Calvin, you know, we've had games like that before. I don't think we've been beat like that since Anderson, but we bounced back before. I think our guys are confident in themselves, knowing that, hey, we've been here. We got to regroup, refocus, get ready for the next game. So, and
you just said, I mean, as close as the league is now, as the three leaders all lost on Saturday, if you just put a streak together, right here, right now, you're going to be in there, because it's going to be really tough for anyone to put a streak together.
It's going to be really hard. It's always interesting. I usually don't like to look at the scores unless we win, but I think looking at the scores after a game is I think you're going to be up for a surprise every time. And maybe it's not a surprise anymore. Maybe it's just this team outlasted that team. So I think we got to find a way against Albion. They're playing really well. We got them coming up on Wednesday, and you know we got to find a way to outlast them.
All right. Well, we'll move on here, and we'll be right back. Unfortunately, we have to talk about Saturday's game a little bit more and go through that. But we'll be back with more with Kyle Lindsay right after this for Frickers here on 103.9 WLAN.
Frickers, the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, is ready to serve you lunch, dinner, and late night. Frickers is the home of everyday values. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday, it's all about that steak. About that steak. And Thursday, Frickers frickin' chicken chunks rule the day. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. And the kitchen is open late night to serve you for everyday values. And the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, it's Frickers.
The Belford Lincoln temperature check. Tecumseh, Blissfield, Sand Creek, Adrian, all in at 19 degrees.
And now we're back with more of the Coach's Show, live from Frickers in Adrian. Here's John Kane.
Thank you very much, Steve Barkway. Let's back here at the Coach's Show. We're here at Frickers on South Main Street here in Adrian. And Kyle Lindsay, the head men's basketball coach at Adrian College, back with us. So now we're going to talk about Calvin. You know, I think last year I went to Calvin for that ball game. And, of course, Calvin has a great program, but there's something about that place that I just don't like. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something about that place. I don't like it either, because I've never been a part of a team that's won there yet. So yeah, it's kind of, I don't know whether it's a vibe or what it is. But talk to me, and we'll get back to some of the other stuff. But this thing, it was a game at halftime. You were down only by 3 points. And you were playing well, shooting the ball well. Calvin was a little unconscious, but you were in the game. And then even down to the 8:28 mark, you're only down by 7. And then the stretch drive wasn't good.
Yeah, I think obviously they shot it really well. But again, it goes back to, we got a little away from ourselves, and I think maybe the fact that they were hitting shots maybe made that feel like the lead was more than it was. because it really caused us, and it felt like it during the game, but going back and watching video was pretty apparent. We definitely got away from ourselves. I think we tried to press too much, and I don't mean full court press. I just think at times we tried to get the lead or that, you know, close the lead too quickly with some quick shots that is uncharacteristic of us. We're usually pretty patient. I just felt like we tried to get it back in a hurry instead of just taking it one possession at a time. So, you know, maybe there was maybe they felt some pressure there in trying to get that back. And, you know, we haven't really played from behind a whole lot this year. So it's a learning opportunity for our group. You know, we watched the video together and pointed out some different things. So I think, yeah, it's just a matter of, hey, let's get back to setting screens. You know, the little things is always what it comes down to. And we had a lot of turnovers. So we're trying to regroup, refocus. Hey, let's get back to focusing on our passes and not just throwing the ball, but actually hitting people in the chest. We got to make better decisions at times. So nothing major, just it's the little things that go into being successful in basketball. So, yeah, and watching the video, it just felt like, you know, at times we got away from ourselves a little bit. And in a game like that, when your margin for error is already so small, you just can't afford to have the turnovers that we had, take some of the quick shots we took. And the biggest thing I thought defensively was our fouling. Just you know, there were times where we just grabbed guys. You know, maybe we knew we were going to be out of position, or we missed a block out and tried to make up for it to blocking the shot and foul the guy. So that's what stood out the most, was really the fouls. So when a team is making shots like that, you got to make up for it in other ways, and we just didn't quite do that.
Well, I mean, for the game, the two teams, you both shot 50% from the floor. They had 10 more shots, so they wound up getting some extra field goals out of that situation. One of the things is sometimes percentages can deceive you. The Bulldogs shot 90% from the free throw line, but 10 attempts is
we didn't get many attempts, and they did a really good job. Calvin, they're very big, and they don't give up many angles, but they see – the other side of it is they didn't foul, you know. So, and that's a credit to them. They were very sharp defensively. So they weren't giving us any easy looks, and we made some shots. But, yeah, we couldn't quite make up. They shot a lot of free throws because we fouled. You know, we were a little undisciplined. So, and then the other thing that stood out was they had 12 offensive rebounds and 17 points that were second opportunities. So, again, just we got to find a way to make up for some things and not shoot ourselves in the foot so much.
Was this maybe almost the first game of the season where you struggled against the big team?
Yeah, it really is. It really was. They're probably the biggest team we've played all year. Kalamazoo's pretty big too. So, yeah, I'd say so.
So it was, you know, the first time they've ever been in that situation, and sometimes if you haven't seen it before, it's a little hard to get out.
Yeah, and again, it wasn't a game that was very poorly played by our guys. You know, it was obviously we had our breakdowns and our moments, but to Calvin's credit, I thought they were super focused and played really well. And I know their backs against the wall, and I'm not saying that's why they played well, but I was impressed with how they came out, and I know their coach talked to me before the game and about how you know, his team just hadn't quite got over the hump yet. Well, I think they finally got over the hump. So, but that's Calvin for you. That's Coach Vandestreek. His teams always get better as the year goes on, I think, because they do things the right way. They play a lot of guys early in the season, and they limit their minutes because they know it's a grind. A depth allows you to do that. So you could see that they're getting a lot better. And like I said, I can see that team making its way to the top here. I would not be surprised at all. They're very skilled. clearly. They shoot the ball very well. They pass it so well. And they're very disciplined at the defensive end.
What's the biggest difference between the Bulldogs' win at the Marilat Center and this game? Was it mostly that just Kelvin played better?
They played better, and we weren't quite as sharp as we were at home. Again, the fouls is what stands out the most. But they were definitely more aggressive than the first time we played, you know, on the boards. Obviously, they missed some shots at our place, and they were shooting it very well at their place. So I think it's twofold. They were better. They were good. We weren't quite as sharp, I thought.
Weren't quite as sharp. Well, you know, sometimes you run into that. But again, Jordan Harris has another strong game for you guys. Guys for the team, high ironers along with Webster with 20 points. So he's starting to come on really strong now.
He is. Yep. He's. I think he's very confident. He's always been a confident player. But it was another one of those games like the KZU game where, you know, when he's on, he's on. So, yeah, he had a great game for us.
Yeah, he's got to keep that microwave Vinny Johnson thing that he's got going on.
Yeah, we got like our win streak. We're gonna ride his hot streak out as long as we can.
And of course, Justin with 20 points, 9 rebounds. Justin continues to be Justin, and he's just had a fabulous year. And we can't say enough about how he's made himself what he is. And it's a great example for other players, you know, that if you work, you can make yourself.
He sure is. And I know our guys see that. They see the work he puts in. And I think that's why they respect him so much and look up to him. You know, he knew coming into this year that you know, we all knew he was going to be our senior leader. But that's something that, you know, we don't really name captains, or we don't really tell the guys, hey, here's who our leaders are. It's on them. They kind of, I really believe that it just kind of develops and things fall in place, and it certainly has. And I think they see his work ethic and how hard he works on a daily basis, and the work he put in the off season. And I hope, and I feel pretty good that the group, you know, sees that and that they're going to have the same approach to their offseason.
Let's take just a couple of minutes to talk about what's coming up this week. Wednesday night, Albion, you already talked about how crucial home games are going to be. That you have to win your home games for sure down the stretch here.
Yeah, it would be, you know, I always hate to say we have to win this game. I think we try not to get too caught up in winning. I think we just need to play well. You know, I think we need to clean some things up and just play well, because if we don't win, it's not time to panic. You know, we still got to regroup and refocus, and because there's going to be another game. So it's one that we want to get really bad, you know, but it's I don't think we can look at it like, okay, we have to win this, and right, if we don't, you know, that it's just, we got to keep getting better. We got to keep approaching each day the same, and the next game the same, But yeah, I think this game is about just you know, cleaning up some things that we didn't have from the last game, and just playing tough, playing hard.
Well, it's always nice to be home.
It is always nice to be home.
You know, the team is always normally much more comfortable than having to make the trip. So let's just, you know, take the Albion game and get a W and keep the eye on the prize.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, the next game, that's the prize, is the next game. So, yeah, I think our guys are going to be ready to kind of get the sour taste out of their mouth after the last game. So we'll be ready.
All right, Coach. Thanks for stopping by and talking with us. Actually, we're going to take a commercial break, and I'll be back because Coach Joe Pachota from CNI, he's actually in action right now. They're playing this evening out at CNI. It's a Monday game on a makeup that they had to get taken care of. So I'm just going to take a few minutes to cover what they did last weekend. And Coach Lindsay, best of luck against Albion on Wednesday night. Get out there, watch the Bulldogs. 7:30 is the tip-off.
7:30 is tip-off.
All right, there you go. We appreciate it. All right, we'll be back with more right after this from Frickers here on 103.9 WLEN.
Frickers, the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, is ready to serve you lunch, dinner, and late night. Frickers is the home of everyday values. Monday, boneless frickin' chicken wings. Tuesday, traditional frickin' chicken wings. Wednesday, it's all about that steak. And Thursday, Frickers frickin' chicken chunks rule the day. Frickers, where kids 10 and under eat free every day. And the kitchen is open late night to serve you for everyday values. And the home for fun, food, sports, and spirits, it's Frickers. And now we're back with more of the Coach's Show, live from Frickers in Adrian. Here's John Cain.
Thank you, Steve Barkway. As I said, Joe Picciotto, the head coach of Siena Heights University Saints men's basketball team, they're actually in action. They're taking on Akron Wayne tonight at the Fieldhouse. So if you're not out there, hop in your car, head on out, root the Saints on. Because they've got quite a week coming ahead. They'll play tonight. Akron Wayne, that's a makeup game that they had to put into the schedule. So they actually wound up getting two Monday games this season because of that. And on Wednesday night, they'll travel to Cornerstone to take on number one Cornerstone. We'll have that ball game for you here on 103.9 WLEN. So that'll be that game, and then they'll be at Lord's on Saturday. But we talked last week, and we said, you know, he's right in the thick of it as far as making the league playoffs. And they had an opportunity because they had two games at home against Northwest Ohio and Lawrence Tech. And we talked about taking care of business at home. And that's exactly what the Saints did. They defeated Northwest Ohio 93-77, and they defeated Lawrence Tech 85-61. They shot the lights out in both of those games. That was the key to the wins. Shooting-wise, against Northwest Ohio, they were 34 of 54, 63% from the floor. And their three-point shooting, 10 of 17, that's 58.8%. Did a great job there. 15 out of 20 at the line for 75%, and they out-rebounded Northwest Ohio, 31-26. Keith Jordan with 28 points and 6 rebounds led the way, and Nick Randall not far behind with 27 points and 4 rebounds, and Tony Jackson, 13 points and 7 rebounds to lead to rebounding, and Josh Winowicki, 16 points and 5 rebounds. So then they come back on Saturday, taking on Lawrence Tech, and the shooting parade just continues. They hit 29 of 53, against Lawrence Tech, that's 54.7%. And their three-point shooting, 14 of 23, 60.9%. So that means in the two ball games this last week at home, their three-point shooting, they wound up hitting 24 out of 60 three-point attempts. That is great shooting. I shouldn't say 24 out of 60. 24 out of 40 is what I meant. That's 60% shooting from three-point land, and what a job. And then they were 13 out of 16 from free-throw line, just shot really well during those two games against those two opponents. And again, it's the usual suspects in the scoring column. Nick Randall with 23 points, Tony Jackson 13 points and 8 rebounds, and Josh Winowicki 17 points and 5 rebounds. So once again, we'll tell you, they'll be at number one Cornerstone on Wednesday night. That's their game, next ball game after the one going on here tonight. And then they'll go to Lord's. So a couple of big games on the road. But they got the two that they desperately needed to get on the home last week. So congratulations to Joe Picciotto and the Siena Heights University Saints. That is going to wrap it up for our coaches show here this evening.
This is John Kane. And for the recently departed Gabriel Schrey, Mike Reynolds back at the studio saying so long from Frickers here on South Main Street in Adrian for the Coaches Show here on 103.9 WLEN.
Thanks for tuning in to the Coaches Show. John Kane will be back again next week with Adrian College and Siena Heights University coaches from 6:30 till 7:30 p.m. out of Frickers of Adrian. Boneless frickin' chicken wings are the special on Mondays, so come on out and enjoy some wings and support your local basketball and hockey teams.